thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's August 2023, and this is episode 354, which is a conversation about hope for caregivers who are suffering. Today's guest is Elizabeth Rennell Turnage. She's an author, Bible teacher, and life and legacy coach. Elizabeth offers workshops to help people gather all of the essential documents for end of life and to help them prepare a practical and spiritual legacy. Elizabeth has written an online feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and her article is called Hope for the Suffering Caregiver, Union with Christ. You can read it for free at our website, equip.org. Elizabeth, it's good to have you on the podcast again.
Thanks, Melanie. Great to be here.
Elizabeth has written a lot of thought-provoking articles for us, and this is just another one, and that is, how do caregivers really keep continuing on in that particularly very challenging calling? And a lot of times it's family members who are caregivers. And so in your article, you're referencing a book about agelessness. And so tell our listeners a little bit more about what you know, that there are 53 million caregivers in America. That is a lot of people. And what are some of the daily tasks that they face in being a caregiver for another person?
Yeah, it's we do have this large number of unpaid family, they're called family caregivers or unpaid caregivers in America, and that they believe that that number is really just going to continue to grow as we have this aging of the baby boomer population. So it can be, you know, it can become a full-time job, and it's everything from changing diapers, changing sheets, administering IV nutrition or IV antibiotics. I had to do that for our son when he had his brain surgeries. Trying to figure out medication for the person you're caring for, checking on insulin, driving to doctor's appointments, sitting in waiting rooms. I mean, it really is kind of an endless, ongoing thing.
And so if someone is in that situation that seems to be, you know, just so overwhelming, just the daily care for someone, especially if they have a long-term medical diagnosis, say, or maybe it's an aging parent, there's not a set time, it's for only this many months or weeks, what kind of suffering do the actual caregivers themselves experience? Because this article is addressing how to give hope to those people who are the caregivers.
Yeah. The type of suffering can vary as widely as the individual caregiver. Eric Tonhas, who wrote about caring for his wife when she was dying of cancer, said that there was great beauty. And yet he also said cancer's reality has been brutal. And he said that he felt despair. He felt spiritual rage. Studies have shown that caregiving has all the, I'm quoting here, features of a chronic stress experience. And so that means, you know, think about chronic stress. It's like wartime. Caregivers can suffer emotional or psychological or spiritual or physical effects. They might have anxiety. They might have depression. They might deal with fear or guilt or shame, isolation, doubt, and last but definitely not least, poor health. That is a very significant concern of many people who are talking about the suffering that caregivers experience is the deterioration of their own physical health.
And would you say that this kind of suffering that the caregiver experiences is just with people who are not religious, or would Christians face that too?
Oh yes, it definitely crosses all barriers. So Christians may even experience kind of a different type of guilt. They might feel like, well, I'm supposed to want to serve and to care for the least of these, and yet I'm miserable, or I am like Eric Tonhess, and I'm feeling despair, or I'm feeling doubt. I'm wondering why this is happening. So, in some ways, some Christians may even suffer more deeply.
That's really interesting because I think a lot of times Christians, if they're experiencing some of those emotions that you listed, they do have that wondering, well, how, as a Christian, how am I supposed to react to this? Because it should I be even feeling angry, especially if it's a loved one that they're caring for? And so one of the things that you're focusing on in this article is like how can a caregiver find joy in the midst of suffering? And what does that look like as a Christian when we know that our Christian identity is through our union with Christ? So, can you just kind of flesh out what it means to find joy in the midst of a very difficult, challenging situation that might not have an end point, and explain what that means for a believer's union with Christ?
Yeah, I think we start there with what union with Christ means. And, most simply, it means that we are in Christ through faith in Christ. We are in Christ and He is in us. Galatians 2:20 says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So our lives are completely intertwined, and it is through that union with Christ that we have the opportunity to know joy in the midst of many different kinds of suffering, but particularly the caregiver can find that joy in the midst of suffering through sort of reclaiming or thinking more deeply about how Christ is with her and how she is in Christ.
So I'd like you to just give us just an idea of some of the blessings that come to the believer from their union with Christ, because I think it's in those times of suffering or the dailiness of doing things yet one more time that's difficult that people can tend to become discouraged and not remember that they need to reflect on the blessings that they have in being united to Christ.
I go to Ephesians 1 where it talks about how we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And I think even just starting there with we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. When you are acting as a caregiver, you are really kind of in the down and dirty. You may be, as we said, changing diapers or changing sheets or sitting in a waiting room or just, in a hospital room, just seeing your loved one go through things that you never wanted to see. So that seems pretty far removed from spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, but that's what we need. We need to see beyond just what is right here on this earth and to remember that even in this place, Christ is with me and the Holy Spirit is in me and the Holy Spirit is working in me and is teaching me through this difficulty. So I think starting with just kind of general spiritual blessing, sort of reclaiming the spiritual blessing that we have in Christ can help the caregiver who is pretty much in the earthly places kind of take her out into the heavenly places. And then there's one theologian who said that union with Christ is the fountainhead from which flows every spiritual blessing. So repentance and faith, pardon, justification, adoption, sanctification, perseverance, glorification, all of those things, which again, may seem far away, far removed from the caregiver, but we can talk maybe about some of the ways that we can apply some of these spiritual blessings to the specifics of the caregiver's experience.
I hope you've been really encouraged to find out that after more than four decades, the Christian Research Journal morphed from a paid subscription to absolutely free as an online magazine at our website, equip.org, and all of our thousands of articles and podcast episodes are now available to everyone free 24/7 at our website. And we would be very grateful if you would help us out. Just takes a few moments of your time. Please give us a rating and short written review at Apple Podcasts. I also think Spotify is doing some ratings now. If you get your podcast there and you can review and rate us there. And we would be really grateful for partnering with us by giving us a tip, you know, something like $5, $10. It's really easy to do. Head on over to our website, equip.org, and at any episode description for a Postmodern Realities episode, you will find a link there to give us a tip. And now back to our conversation about caregiving and suffering with Elizabeth Turnage. Well, you're kind of describing some of the blessings that we have from our union with Christ. You mentioned Ephesians, but how do we as experience those blessings? I mean, how do caregivers think, okay, I know this is true. I have these spiritual blessings in Christ, but how can I experience those blessings that are part of the union that I have with Christ in this very challenging situation that is, you know, trying my patience, or is, you know, I'm don't have enough sleep that I need, or, you know, all those kinds of things that come with being in the midst of just challenging caregiving on a long-term basis?
Yeah, that's a great question, because again, it can be hard when you're, you know, you're so tired and the daily burdens, all of the tasks can keep you from being able to attend church, which is really one of the ways that we ponder and meditate on the beauty of the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. So really we experience the spiritual blessings that come from our union with Christ through the means of grace, like prayer, like going to church, like reading the Bible, like taking communion. So that I realize, because I've been there, in itself can be a challenge for the caregiver. And I would encourage caregivers to really make great use of the body of Christ and ask people to pray and ask people to come alongside and, hey, can you share some scripture with me? I'm just really feeling dry because I haven't had a chance to read my Bible in days because, you know, of all that I'm going through caring for my whoever it is. And so that is a way that we usually remember, in a way. We gather that energy from the union with Christ through those types of things, meditating on God's word, prayer, worship, fellowship with other believers.
So I want to know, you know, obviously when someone is a caregiver, especially that quote you read from about the man whose wife was dying from cancer, you have all these conflicting emotions at the same time. And that's true for Christians and people who aren't religious too, that are caregivers. And so, well, how can you encourage them about the safety and security of their union with Christ as they're in the midst of it? Because they can go through such emotional swings of just, even you said in that quote, of feeling angry or overwhelmed or sad, just all the time, and then having to keep going and keep, because they are the primary person caring. So how can you explain to them what
the security of their union with Christ gives them in way of encouragement, and also just as part of their growth in deepening their union with Christ.
Yeah, it's just such good news to us, Melanie, because the bottom line is that if we have trusted in Christ for salvation, we are united with him by the Holy Spirit, and we're not going to lose that. We can't be kicked out of Christ, so to speak, to quote one author. He is in us, we are in him, and that union is larger than any danger, toil, or snare, so to speak, that it's larger than our fears. It's larger than our doubts. It's larger than our anger. It's larger than our despair. We are in him, and he will never cast us out. And that is the good news that comes and reassures and assures the caregiver.
So how does that encourage the caregiver when I was mentioning earlier, and you were talking about it too, the dailiness of it, especially it can get overwhelming if you have to make tons of medical appointments and then you have to take them to medical appointments. And then if you are dealing with someone maybe that you're caring for, an older parent that has dementia that seems confused, so that you add on top of that to explain to them what you're doing. So how does our union with Christ help us if we're facing those kinds of things every day and just, again, feel overwhelmed and tired in that situation?
Yeah, it's so helpful to remember because the caregiver can feel so alone. And so it's so helpful to remember that we're united with the Christ, the incarnated Christ who came into the world and who cares for us in the nitty-gritty. He is the one who fed the birds of the air and clothed the grass of the field. And yes, that's metaphorical. And yet Christ walked on this earth and he got his hands dirty. And so it's good to know that God is not far off, but Christ is very present as we endure the dailiness of caregiving. The author that we referred to earlier, Eric Ton, has said, he doesn't watch over us distractedly the way we watch TV while we're trying to do chores around the house. He's big up into the heavens, but also big down into the tiniest detail of our lives. Christ cares about those little details of the caregiver's life.
That's such an encouraging word, because I have friends that are caregivers for children that have some issues, like health issues, and it's going to be ongoing for many, many years. And, you know, it's a very difficult thing to face day after day. And so there's this emotional kind of weight, burden. And also we talked about just, you know, you quoted that guy where he even felt anger. And then maybe just grief to think of what you've lost. I mean, maybe it's a spouse that has got Alzheimer's now, or a child that you didn't think would face this medical situation and now is, and you're trying not to compare them to other children that you know. So how does knowing about union with Christ help in those situations?
Yeah, especially like, you know, talking about the emotional and psychological turmoil that, you know, your friend is experiencing, looking at a lifetime of caregiving. And as much as that is a beautiful thing and a wonderful thing to provide care, it's also one that can cause such grief. And even sometimes people experience depression, anxiety, all of those things. And that's where we turn to the Christ who experienced turmoil himself. He was distressed on the cross and distressed in the garden before he died on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So we know that Christ understands this. One pastor who had to retire from ministry due to Parkinson's disease said that Jesus is our high priest, and because of what he has personally experienced, he understands our every sorrow, and he's able to provide not just real sympathy, but real help. He knows everything. He has been there. He has experienced the darkness of the emotional and psychological turmoil that caregivers experience. And so he can really help us.
I think that's a good word, because I think sometimes we as Christians can forget about the humanity of Christ in his earthly ministry and just the relational pain that he felt at times. And so I also want to ask you about that. Speaking of relationships, is that sometimes when you're a caregiver, it can be very isolating. I think of my friend or other people that I know in this situation. And even if they're invited to things at church or events or Bible studies or whatever it is, it's hard for them to be able to come because of their responsibilities as a caregiver. And so I'm sure they're struggling with isolation. And one of the things that you mentioned about blessings was to be connected to the church. And so how do caregivers practically, you know, be connected to the church so that they can be in fellowship and be able to take communion and all those things when they struggle with being so isolated because of the demands of caregiving?
Yeah, that is a really tough one. That's probably, you know, the isolation of caregiving is probably one of the things that leads to the emotional and psychological turmoil. It's just, you know, it is not good for man to be alone. And so we do really have to pray for caregivers and reach out to caregivers to offer respite care so that they can get out to do things like go to church or go to Bible study. And often caregivers will struggle with being able to leave the person they're caring for. And so that takes a great deal of humility to be able to say, okay, this person may not provide the same kind of care I provide, but this person is qualified and will keep my person safe. And so I will trust God with the person I care for so that I can get out and go to church or go on a walk or go to a doctor's appointment, all of these things. So I think part of the answer comes for that to isolation comes in being willing to receive other people's offers of help and being able to trust God to care for their person well in their absence.
And that makes me want to ask you, so how can some of us who maybe don't feel equipped or we don't know how can we help a caregiver that's a friend? What would you suggest for other people in a church congregation, ways in which they could say, oh, okay, how can we minister to this person who's a caregiver so they don't feel isolated?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because we really do want to, you know, so often the emphasis is on praying for the sick in a church, and we need to go beyond that to say, wait, who's taking care of this sick person? Who's taking this person to the doctor's appointments, this person who's just diagnosed with cancer. And so being very intentional about reaching out, remembering and knowing that, yes, there are times that the caregiver just doesn't feel like doing things, even if he or she has the opportunity to get out, but really pursuing that caregiver with prayers. And I think it's really important to ask the caregiver to offer to pray with the caregiver, to call the caregiver and say, would it be okay if I pray with you? I know for me, when I was caregiving, it meant a lot to hear the words of another person praying, because I was just so worn out. I was having a hard time finding the words to pray. So that is one way. I've mentioned certainly respite care as much as we can, where there can be caregiver support groups. Those are very helpful to fight against the isolation that caregivers can experience. So those are, and then, you know, obviously just helping any of those daily tasks that we might have gifts in. Maybe, you know, we're very administratively oriented. Then we could help to organize some of the papers and documents and things that have to be dealt with regarding insurance and all of those things. So thinking about what kinds of gifts you have and the daily tasks that the caregiver might be doing and seeing where you can insert your gifts into that place. Those are just a few ideas.
Well, I think that most churches probably, like you mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast, there's more than 50 million caregivers that are like unpaid, that are family members or folks like that, that are not like a hired professional to give care. And so that's a lot of people. And I'm sure there's a lot of people like that in our churches. Now, most of the time, I think churches think, oh, we'll start a children's ministry, or we need to have, you know, certain kinds of ministries, or, you know, men's and women's Bible studies. But should a church consider ministering to people in this, like officially, is there a need for churches to have this kind of ministry where they equip some of their other members of their church to reach out to this group of people?
It's a great question, Melanie. I think that it is going to be a growing need. I think we've already gotten there. But, you know, obviously it depends on the demographics of your church, but it is important to look around in your church. And that's what I've started doing, is just kind of taking note. I haven't actually counted, but how many people with gray hair or people over the age of 60 do we have in our church? What are the needs that they are experiencing? What struggles are they facing? How many caregivers do we have? I know in our church, often the deacons are caring for people who are sick. It kind of organically happens between the deacons and women's ministry that the sick and the caregivers are cared for. But I have certainly heard that cry from a number of caregivers for the desire for more caregiver support groups in churches. You can find caregiver support groups often in hospitals, but we, of course, would like to have a caregiver support group from a Christian perspective.
That's a great idea. That's some food for thought, I think, for some of our listeners, because a lot of times we think of caregiving only as it applies to people who are elderly, but a lot of times there are people in the congregation who have suddenly get some kind of serious illness diagnosis and they will need, or something happens to them where they have a serious accident and they were fine before, but now they're in a situation where they will need ongoing care. I know of a friend who, that's true for a young couple in their family where there was a big accident to the husband and now he needs ongoing care within a young family. So I think we need to expand who we think, you know, typically would need encouragement as a caregiver, maybe.
That's a great point. It clearly does not apply only to aging. It is especially in large congregations, we will often find all sorts of families needing help and support for caregivers.
And I think it's something that we don't necessarily think about. I know at my own church, it's mainly for families with children for special needs, which for sure would fall under that. But they have a ministry for that, and they try to have once a month or once a quarter or something like that, a regular time for respite where they ask, you know, people, hey, could you come and help with the kids that are dropped off so that the parents can go, you know, grocery shopping or on a date or just maybe go home and take a nap or something like that. So I know that there's something like that at my own church, but I know that it's probably going to grow because you said 50 million. And I know there's more people there that are older and less probably, I don't know what the birth rate is in the United States, but I know in some countries it's like a negative birth rate. There's going to be more older people than there are younger people. So I think, you know, this is something that people are going to face, not just here, but everywhere. And so also I want to ask you just to come back to focus specifically on how the caregivers are feeling themselves. A lot of times I know people who are caregivers, they feel like guilt, either that they're not doing enough, or maybe now they're caregiving and they're not focusing on other family members is enough. Or if you're caregiving for a child and you have multiple children, you feel overwhelmed and maybe just feel shameful about that. And so how can they be reminded about their union with Christ as they, you know, struggle with these feelings sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, caregiver guilt is just, it's a phrase, and it's a phrase for a reason, because so many caregivers do experience that, just that feeling of never being able to do enough, or making a mistake with medication, or just making a mistake that causes our loved one pain when we're caring for them. It's a terrible feeling. I've had that feeling, and it's a terrible feeling, and you do feel guilty. And then, of course, there's guilt. There's shame over sin. You know, our tempers may be a little shorter, and we may lose them and say things that are unkind to whether to the person we're caring for or to somebody else. And so it is not uncommon. And I think that is where we turned to remembering our union with Christ, that we are in Him and He is in us, and that He will not cast us out, and that He died for our sins. We are forgiven in Christ. And no matter how deep our failure goes, Christ's union and His love of us goes deeper. And so really trying to hear Christ's call to come to Him and to rest in Him when we're struggling with that guilt and shame. And I think that's also a time to talk to a person that we know understands that, and that will be very validating of the struggle, and also validating of our need for forgiveness if we do need forgiveness, because sometimes we get lost in guilt and shame and we get isolated, and then really hear the accuser accusing us and making us think even worse thoughts about ourselves. So union with Christ is definitely very good news when we're feeling guilt and shame.
And I do want to ask you very practically about how we can minister to caregivers who might be experiencing spiritual doubt, because I've seen this happen with, sadly, with some people that I know, is where something has happened in their life medically with a family member, and it has caused them to doubt God's existence, to doubt His goodness. And if people are not reminded of who they are in Christ, that can, in some cases, lead them to decide, well, I don't think Christianity is true, because would a loving God, you know, do this to a child where they would get this diagnosis, or where, you know, it seems like everything we've tried for to heal them is not working. And so therefore they wonder if God is even hearing their prayers.
Yeah, that is a tough one. And again, so common, whether it's, you know, why is God allowing this to happen, or does God care, or am I being punished? There are some people who believe that, you know, sickness is a punishment for sin. And so the first thing, as those who are caring for caregivers, is to remember that sometimes we have to kind of provide a bridge of faith and hope and love for them. We need to hold them up when they have fallen and they just can't see the goodness of God. They can't see the glory of God. Certainly if somebody is really asking about, you know, why is God allowing this suffering, we cannot provide answers, but in pointing to Christ and our union with Christ, the fact that Christ died on a cross, suffered. He was beaten. He was betrayed. And he suffered on a cross on behalf of us for our sins, and that he is the one acquainted with grief can sometimes help people when they're thinking about why does God allow this suffering, to know that God did allow his son to suffer and die on our behalf. And then to remember, especially for those who fear that it's some kind of condemnation, to remember that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that God will not punish us for our sins. Our sins have been fully punished in Christ on the cross. So we're not going to experience punishment. We may experience consequences for our sins, but we will not be punished because Christ has already been punished. So those are just a few of thoughts about how our union with Christ applies to spiritual doubts. It's a tough one, and it's one that if we're walking with someone who's experiencing that, we really have to be prepared to walk alongside them for the long haul.
And what are some ways we can walk alongside them and give them hope without being, well, this is God's will that would happen to you? I mean, I know people don't mean to say that, but sometimes we don't say the right thing, and yet we're thinking you're not the person caring for this person going through chemo, and it's every day cleaning up after them, and they've got X number of rounds, and there's no end in sight.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good time to quote Romans 8:28. I think that the best way, the thing that speaks the most in those kinds of situations, is our presence and bringing our presence, which if we are united with Christ, is bringing Christ's presence to that caregiver, and just being willing to sit with them and not to try to answer questions that we really don't have the answer for.
And you'd mentioned earlier that caregivers experience, you know, sometimes mental health struggles. They can experience the, you know, depression and feeling overwhelmed. And so how should, you know, you've been in this situation yourself, how should the caregiver, because they're also struggling with, you know, feelings of guilt, how can they care for them, their own health, and make sure that they don't get sick because they don't sleep, or there's things that they need to do so that they can be, have some space where they feel encouraged? What would you say are practical things that the caregiver should do? And then friends of the caregiver, what can we do to encourage them to, you know, look after their own health?
Yes, this is so important. There have been many studies done that show that the health of a caregiver deteriorates when they are, especially when they're in a longer season of caregiving, but even a shorter season. Caregivers can tend to, and I know I did this personally, you know, I just like rescheduled my yearly checkup with my doctor for another time, but I mean a much later time. And I was not doing well. I was pulling hair out in the shower, like, you know, just my hair was falling out from stress, and I was tired. And this is really common. Our bodies are trying to tell us we are not well and we need help. And so it is just so important that the caregiver keep her regular doctor's appointments, that she care for her own body and her own health. It is good stewardship of the body that God has given us. And even though we can tend to put our physical needs last when we're caring for someone, we really have to learn to make sure that they don't come last. And as friends to caregivers, to encourage them, like, hey, you know, I noticed this is the third time you've told me that you have a really bad cold. Have you seen a doctor about that? Did you go to your yearly checkup? It's really important to remind and encourage caregivers to prioritize their health, because often they need to hear it from somebody else. They can be so lost in the midst of all the daily burdens that they just don't even think about it. So we're back to respite care. Like you said, your church provides some respite care. If we can provide respite care, so hey, I will stay here so you can go to that doctor's appointment, or you know, we know people who need surgery and they won't get it because they are caring for their spouse and they're like, I'm just going to put that off. But it's like, if you don't get the surgery, then your health is going to be seriously compromised. So we can't say it enough. It's just a really important thing to urge caregivers to take care of their own health.
I think it might be hard for people to say, yes, I'll do that, because they might feel guilty. I'll have to leave this person that I'm caring for in order to go to my own doctor's appointment. So that's definitely a good word. Now, one thing that your article focuses on is the fact that a lot of times caregivers themselves, as they help other people who are mostly physically suffering, they are also suffering a lot of times in a spiritual way or emotionally. And so how can they be reminded about their life in Christ and living it to the fullest and in a transformative way, you know, through the power of the Spirit, when they feel like that this is definitely, you know, a valley, definitely something that where they themselves, because someone else is suffering, they themselves are also going through suffering?
Yeah, so this is where, you know, thinking about our union with Christ is so helpful, because one of the things that those who study caregiver stress have found is that those who find some meaning and purpose in their suffering and in their caregiving, that they have much better mental health and physical health. And so it's really important to find meaning and purpose in suffering. And certainly when we think about our union with Christ, we do find that meaning and purpose in our suffering. Christ said that those who care for the least of these in Matthew 25:40 are caring for him. And so where the caregiver can think about how, as she cares for her loved one, she is caring for Christ. And it's, you know, it's certainly a mystery, but it helps the caregiver to see herself as more closely connected to Christ as she cares for her loved one. And even the caregiving that she is doing takes on a deeper meaning. There's more to it than these daily kind of earthly tasks that may seem like they don't have much meaning, but they actually do, because she's caring for Christ. And then, you know, we have the fact that Christ called us to share in his sufferings. And when we share in his sufferings, God's glory is shown and the gospel is advanced. And so the Apostle Paul said, I love this verse from 2 Corinthians 4:15. He said he had just listed all these ways that he had suffered. And then he said, for it, meaning his suffering, is all for your sake, so that grace extends to more and more people. It may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And what the way I understand that is that as we share in Christ's sufferings, our suffering is transformed into glory. And so just, you know, if we can just pause, and caregivers in the midst of the existential despair, as the one man said, can see suffering being transformed and God's glory being revealed because of the suffering that the caregiver is experiencing. I think that really helps a lot to see that there is great meaning and purpose in caregiving.
That's an encouraging word for people who are in the midst of that, because as Christians, we don't want to just grit our teeth and, you know, try to survive or power our way through anything that God has placed in our lives, even if it's something as difficult as long-term caregiving, but we want to be able to grow through that and find encouragement in who we are in Christ. So thank you for that word, because I think a lot of times people just come to this kind of situation and they are just trying to, you know, grin and bear it type of thing. But as Christians, we don't want to do that. We want to really grow through these situations in our faith and deepen in our walk with the Lord. Well, on a much, much lighter note than this conversation, I have a fun question that's related to summer that I've been asking our authors. So Elizabeth, are you team s'mores or team ice cream?
Oh, that's kind of a tough one, but definitely ice cream. I try to eat ice cream every day of my life, Melanie. It is, I just love ice cream. And so I refuse to feel bad about eating it, no matter what my doctor may tell me.
Well, that's a fun answer to eat it every day. You're probably trying a lot of different flavors. Do you try a little different flavors, or do you stick with your favorite ones?
Oh, no, I do. I do like to try different flavors. I mean, I have some favorites. I definitely like I'll go through a period. So these days it's Ben and Jerry's. They have it's called Topped, and they put like chocolate ganache on the top, and then it's thick mint. So that's a really good one if anybody's looking for a nice, yummy ice cream to try.
Well, that sounds delicious. Thank you for being a guest again on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
You're so welcome, Melanie.
You've been listening to episode 354 of the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Journal on equip.org. Today's guest was Elizabeth Reynolds Turnage. She has written an article for us on our website, and her article is called Hope for the Suffering Caregiver, Union with Christ, and you can read for free at our website, equip.org. Stay connected with the Christian Research Institute and all the new content we have coming your way. The best way to do that is to head on over to our website, equip.org. There you will find thousands of free resources right at your fingertips, from articles to video to audio, and it's all for free. You'll find our podcasts hosted there, as well as the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which is hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and streams live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. In addition, you don't want to miss out on subscribing to Hank Unplugged, which is the podcast of Hank Hanegraaff. And in that podcast, he has really in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people. And in addition, he has a new series on his podcast feed called Hank Unplugged Shorts, which Hank goes into the headlines in the mainstream media and refutes a lot of those cultural issues that we have in these short podcast episodes. And there's quite a few of them. You don't want to miss out on them. Now, if you want to find some of this at other places where it's all in one place, really subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's a great way to get all of our content there, our podcasts there, and different individual questions theologically that people have that Hank answers at our YouTube channel. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know how to subscribe to YouTube. I don't have a YouTube account. Well, actually, you might just have a YouTube account. If you have a Gmail address, you have a YouTube account. Just log into YouTube with your Gmail address and search for Bible Answer Man channel, and please become one of our subscribers. In addition, if you see that bell icon right there on our front page, please click that. And every time that we have new content, you will receive a notification that new content is up on our channel for you to be able to consume. So thank you so much for the ways in which you partner with the Christian Research Institute. We are grateful for you listening and reading and watching.